side. Rest to the restless, freedom from fear, when things seem impossible.
It's now time for worship with the Family Circle of Souls Harbor. We invite you, your family, and your friends in this next hour to worship with Pastor Rick Libby and the Souls Harbor Singers as they lead you in the songs of the church and in the sharing of God's Word.
For all of the problems of life, the answer is Christ.
Good morning, friends. What a tremendous blessing it is today for us to be able to welcome you to another Souls Harbor worship service. I'm Pastor Rick Libby, the senior pastor of the Souls Harbor Ministry. Today I have the privilege of leading you and guiding you in this service. I'll be introducing the singers and the songs to you, and then in a few moments, I want to share a message that I believe God has laid upon my heart for many of our viewers today. As we get started, the Zion Trio is coming to sing a great old song of the church. They're coming to sing a song that you may be able to sing along with them. It's entitled, I Know Whom I Have Believed. Friend, here's a little bit of free advice. If you're going to put your faith and trust in something, you better know that you can have confidence in that you are putting your faith and trust in. The more you come to know the one in whom you believe, I think the greater your faith and your trust is going to be. For you will never doubt this man Jesus when you come to know him. Listen to the words of this song as Zion Trio comes to sing, I Know Whom I Have Believed.
I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart, nor how believing in his word wrought peace within my heart. But I know whom I have believed in, I am persuaded, oh, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not when my Lord may come at night or noonday fair, nor if I walk the veil with him or meet him in the air. But I know whom I have believed in, and am persuaded, oh, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Oh, yes, I know whom I have believed in, and I am persuaded, glory to God, that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day.
I know a lot of people aren't going to like what I'm about to say, but don't you find that as time goes on, it's getting more difficult to find something that you can put absolute faith and trust in? There are a lot of things that maybe have been there in our past to help us. But as I look over those things, they are not things that I can put my full confidence in. I know whom I have believed today. I am persuaded that He is able. I've learned that through experience as I have put my faith in Him. As through the process of time, I have increasingly put my faith in Him. Which is to say, I have done it more and more until I'd like to think that I have complete trust in Him today. He's the only one, the only thing that I have complete trust in, for He has never failed me. There's a song that evangelist Jonathan Garlock and his wife Marcia are coming to sing today. I think we'll better tell the story of what I'm trying to say. All of us have needs today. Some of us have needs that perhaps our brothers and sisters, family and friends can help us with. But all of us also have needs that no one can help us with but Jesus. Listen to the words of this song as the Garlocks come to sing, "It's in Jesus."
Have you found that love that pardons? Have you found those stripes that heal? Have you found strength for your weakness? Have you found grace that covers all your sin?
I have found that love that pardons. I have found those stripes that heal, and I found a strength for my weakness. Yes, I found grace, and it covered all my sin. It's in Jesus. It's all in Jesus. Oh, it's in Jesus. He's the one rock of salvation. He's a firm foundation. It's in Jesus. He Have you found that love that pardons? How many today can say you found those stripes that heal? And have you found strength for your weakness? Yes, we found grace, and it covers all our sin. And it's in Jesus. It's all in Jesus. Oh, it's in Jesus. He salvation. He's a firm foundation. It's in Jesus. He's the one.
I firmly believe in the message of that song today. It is in Jesus. He's the love that pardons. Through Jesus, we have the stripes that heal. It is through Jesus that He covers all of our sins. He is the strength for our weakness. I don't know what you may need from Him today, but I know He has what you need. If you'll call upon Him and put your faith and trust in Him, I believe, first of all, Jesus will hear your cry. And then because of His great and amazing grace, He'll open a doorway into heaven for you so that you can receive what you have need of. And through His wonderful, great, immeasurable mercy, He will not give us what we deserve, but He will give us what we have need of. I believe He is the answer for the help that we need in our lives today. That's why He said, call upon Him in our time of need. We're in that time today, so let's do what He's asked us to do. Let's call upon the Lord and ask Him for His help. Join me in prayer today. Heavenly Father, we do thank You that Your ear is always open to hear our cry. I thank You for Your grace that keeps that door open regardless of whatever may be happening within our lives. Lord, I thank You for the mercy that causes Your ear to hear and Your hand to be extended towards us that we might be able to feel Your touch and know that You are delivering us, providing for us, leading us through these dark and difficult days that we are living in. Lord, I thank You today for hearing our prayer. I don't know what each member of this audience needs today, but if I do know anything, I know this. You have the answer. You've shown it so many, many times that today I have no reason to doubt, but that You will show that one more time. You have the answer, and You are sending it our way. Thank You for hearing our prayer today, for we've asked You all of these things in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Red can't explain the beauty of the rose. White can't tell the magic in the air when it snows. Marvelous can't half convey the grace of our King. The only word for grace is amazing.
There's no other word for grace but amazing.
No other explanation will do. Unmerited favor, the song that I sing. No other word for grace but amazing.
Now the Father looked beyond all the failures I had made. He didn't seem to notice all the times I'd not obeyed. He overlooked all the scars of sin I held in me, and grace that He showed, well, it still amazes me.
There's no other word for grace but amazing. No other explanation will do. Unmerited favor, the song that I sing. No other word for grace. There's no other word for grace.
There's just no other word for grace
but amazing.
I'm not sure that any of us will fully be able to appreciate what the work of God's grace has afforded to our lives. When you experience the grace of God, you're also going to experience the mercy of God, because these two things work together, hand in hand. The mercy of God. Oh, thank God for His mercy, because rather than to give us what we deserve, and when you think about that, we don't deserve anything good from God's hand. We have not had the kind of history that causes us to be blessed by God because of our goodness, our faithfulness, our consistency, and the list goes on and on and on. No, we are never worthy to receive, but because of His mercy today, we do. And it's His mercy that begins to rewrite the story of our life. Listen to the words of this song that Ralph Holmes and his sister Wanda St. Peter are coming to share with us. It's simply entitled, Mercy River.
Like a blind man, I was stumbling down life's road. Then one day, I heard Jesus passing by. No. Reaching out to heal my cry. Mercy River, flow through me. Wash away. Your mercy river flow through me. Oh, my friend, are you tired of your life of sin? This very moment, Jesus is passing by your way. For I know that He's the only one that can make you whole again. So just reach out to Him. He'll hear you when make me
is the blood that Jesus shed on Calvary. Lord, please let your mercy river flow through me. Lord, please let your mercy river flow through me.
We've talked about the grace of God. We've talked about the mercy of God. And I think we need to take a moment to talk about the love of God. If God didn't love us, He would never let grace and mercy work for us. But because He loves us, He's going to find a way into our hearts and lives so that He can make the difference for us. He's going to bring something good into our lives because He loves us. Well, let's let Sue Ellen Deere and Nyla Carmichael come and sing this song, because there's a powerful truth wrapped up in it. He didn't have to love us, but thank God He does. Let this song bless you as they come to sing it for us today.
When I look at you, I realize the little that I know. When I look at you, I realize how far I have to go. Oh, my mind cannot conceive the thought of why you'd love me so. When I'm so far from what you are, and I seem to move so slow.
You didn't have to love me, but you didn't have to heal me. But you didn't have to die on Calvary for me. But you didn't have to save me. But you did or send your spirit to sway me. But you didn't have to love me, save me, heal me, but you did.
When others look at me, I hope they'll see reflections there of you. When others look at me, I hope that they will want to know you too. For if they can't see your love in me, then I have failed at what I do. Though I'm so far from what you are, I'm becoming more like you.
You didn't have to love me, but you didn't have to heal me. But you didn't have to die on Calvary for me. But you didn't have to save me. But you did or send your spirit to sway me. But you didn't have to love me, save me, heal me. But you did. You didn't have to love me, but you didn't have to heal me. But you didn't have to die on Calvary for me. But you didn't have to save me. But you did or sent your spirit to sway me. But you didn't have to love me, save me, heal me. But you did. You loved me, saved me, healed me. Yes, you did.
I trust that these songs that you have been listening to today have been blessing your heart and lifting you up, encouraging your faith, and causing you to put just a little bit more trust in Jesus. You see, that's what we're about here at Souls Harbor. We're about providing ministry that will build people up, help them along this rugged road of life, trying to encourage them so that they might find greater faith that they can put in Jesus Christ. If we're not ministering, then we have no reason to be here. But I believe today that we are meeting a need in many people's lives, because as I hear the reports, this ministry, this worship service that is here each Sunday morning plays an important role in many people's lives, especially right now where a lot of people are not comfortable being out in crowds and around and doing the different things in order to be in church. So I'm praying and I'm hoping that this ministry is providing something for your life that has great meaning and great value. Now, here's why I have paused in this service to talk about this. As you know, if you've been a part of this ministry for long, we are here today because of the free will offerings of you, the viewer. Maybe this is your first day with us and you're not sure of how this has all come to be. Well, throughout our entire history, we have always depended upon men and women that wanted to be a part of the Souls Harbor ministry. Perhaps you cannot be in front of the camera, but certainly it takes more people behind the camera than it does in front of the camera in order to make this happen. So today we're asking that you would please prayerfully consider doing something by way of a financial contribution to help the ministry of Souls Harbor to take care of its expenses so it can return for another worship service next Sunday morning. If you'd like to help us, then please be prepared to jot down our contact information. That way you can get in touch with us in these next few days. In the U.S., you would write to Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 275, Corinth, Maine, 04427. If you'd like to make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our U.S. office at 207-285-3131. In the U.S., you can also make a contribution online. Just visit our website, www.soulsharbor.tv. When you look down in the lower left-hand corner of our homepage, you'll see a spot that says Donate. When you click on that spot, just fill out the information that is being asked for, and you'll be able to get a contribution directly to us. For our friends in Canada, please write to our Canadian office at Souls Harbor, Post Office Box 611, Centerville, New Brunswick, E7K3H5. In Canada, if you'd like to make a contribution by Visa, MasterCard, or Discover Card, please call our Canadian office at 506-276-3551. Thank you so much for everything that you are about to do on behalf of the Souls Harbor Ministry. We appreciate it. I believe heaven appreciates it. And heaven can do something that we here cannot do. We would love to be able to show you our appreciation. But since it's not possible for us to do that, we're asking that God will show His appreciation by blessing you richly over and over and over again for what you have done on behalf of this ministry. Thank you so very, very much. As I get ready to go over and share something from the Word of God, I want to first of all sing an old Dottie Rambo song. I'm pretty sure that many of you will know this, and if you do, please sing it along with me. It's a song that she was inspired to write by something that her brother was going through. Her brother was in the last days of his life. Terminal disease had taken control of his health, and he knew that in a few days he would close his eyes for the last time. Dottie Rambo ministered to her brother, trying to get him to say that sinner's prayer, to be ready for death when it came. His only argument was that God wouldn't want him for anything. God wouldn't hear his prayer because of the life that he lived. The reason I love this great song is because it's true of all of us today. God looks beyond our faults and sees our need. The good news is that Dottie Rambo's brother came to believe that before it was too late. The reason she wrote this song is because of her brother's testimony. How that he cried out to God. And even though in the flesh he didn't believe God could ever do anything for him or would have anything to do with him, he discovered when he called on the name of Jesus, heaven heard his cry and came and ministered to him in those last days of his life. There may come a day soon for all of us today that we could sit down and talk to him about the testimony that is shared about his life. I believe somewhere across heaven today, her brother is walking the streets of gold because that's just the way God works. And that's the way God will work for you today, my friend, if you call upon his name. Listen to the words of this song as I sing, "He looked beyond my faults and saw my need."
Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was grace that bought my liberty. I do not know just why he came to love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that caught my falling soul. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. Oh, wondrous grace that he should ever care for me, to give his life for such a wretch as I. I do not know just how he could ever love me so. He looked beyond my faults and saw my need. I shall forever lift my eyes to Calvary to view the cross where Jesus died for me. How marvelous the grace that taught my falling soul.
Whether we know it or not, that song is true of every one of our lives. We all have faults and failures. We all have shortcomings, places along this road of life that we miss the mark. We made mistakes. Maybe it was accidental, but nevertheless, it still happened. We did something we shouldn't have done, said something we shouldn't have said, thought something we shouldn't have thought. We're all guilty of a fault of some sort. Perhaps you feel a little bit like me. I have more faults than I can count. And just when I think I've mastered one, I've discovered a new one. Even though I'm getting older and supposedly wiser, it seems like at moments I don't have any wisdom at all, and I've done something I shouldn't have done, said something I shouldn't have said, felt something. You know, your attitude is just as important here as the actions of your life. Maybe you're not thinking right because you're not feeling right. Well, when Dottie Rambo wrote that song, she may have been inspired to write it by her brother, Eddie Luttrell, but at the same time, she was talking about all of us. We've all had our faults, our failures. But God somehow has the capacity. Perhaps people can't do this, but God surely can, and He's done it countless times. He looked beyond those faults and saw what we needed. Maybe it's because of those faults that we have our need today. Well, let's let God come and minister to our lives. Let's let God help us to get on the right path so that we can experience the goodness that we can have because of God's grace, His mercy for our lives. We've been talking the last couple of weeks about discouraging our discouragement. There's a lot of discouragement taking place around us today. When we are discouraged, I think I've tried to say this in the past couple of weeks, but if I haven't, let me deliberately do it right here. When we are discouraged, we don't think right. We don't feel right. We don't see right. We don't hear right. All of our senses are off kilter because we're discouraged. Discouragement is the lens that we pull down over our eyes and ears, and it changes everything. What would happen, perhaps, if we could get beyond that place of discouragement to take a fresh look at things? Not to be shaded and manipulated by the discouragement of our heart and our spirit, but to let go of those things and look at things through the eyes of being free, loosed by the power of God. I believe that would begin to change everything. Now, I'm not saying that just because that's the way I see it. I'm saying that because of what I read in this book, what I have watched in the lives of others and what I have experienced within my own personal life. Let me begin where we have been talking these last couple of weeks. We've been talking out of the book of Psalms, Psalm 77. In those first 9 verses, I know some people are dreading that I'm going to read it again, but I think I do need to, because I think there are some people who need to realize that their life seems to resemble this man's life in Psalm 77. In Psalm 77, beginning with verse 1, this gentleman, Asaph, cries out, "I cried unto God with my voice, even unto God with my voice, and he gave ear unto me. In the day of my trouble, I sought the Lord. My soul ran in the night and ceased not. My soul refused to be comforted. I remembered God and was troubled. I complained and my spirit was overwhelmed. Thou holdest mine eyes waking. I am so troubled that I cannot speak. I have considered the days of old, the years of ancient times. I call to remembrance my song in the night. I commune with mine own heart, and my spirit made diligent search. Will the Lord cast off forever? And will he be favorable no more? Is his mercy clean gone forever? Doth his promise fail forevermore? Hath God forgotten to be gracious? Hath he in anger shut up his tender mercies?" Now, I know that we've been stopping right there because we've been talking about and describing some things that are happening in this man's life. Now, I'm not going to repeat what I've said in the last couple of weeks. If you'd like to hear that part, then contact us. We'd be glad to send you a CD or a DVD so that you can hear all of that if you missed it. Today, I want to pick up at the end of verse 9. Obviously, we're talking about somebody that is very deeply depressed. He's at the point of despair. He's so discouraged that he can't sleep at night. He can't fully articulate what he's feeling. His thinking is messed up. And everything seems to be changed by this discouragement. But then in verse 10, it seems like this man turns a corner and begins to talk about what he's got to do because of where he has been. Let me read to you verse 10. Psalm 77, verse 10, this same man said, "I said, this is my infirmity, but I will remember the years of the right hand of the Most High. I will remember the works of the Lord. Surely I will remember thy wonders of old. I will meditate also of all thy work and talk of thy doings. Thy way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? Thou art the God that doest wonders. Thou hast declared thy strength among the people." Oh, I could continue to read on, but I want to take time today to finish this subject up by helping you to see where the first step this man takes in getting back to where he needs to be is that he remembers this is his infirmity. What he's saying is that I did this to myself. I'm the reason I'm in this state of being and struggling so greatly. He said, "This is my infirmity. This is my sickness. This is my weakness. This is the way that I have allowed myself to think and to feel." Now, I need to stop here long enough to remind you that it's possible today for you to be in control of your emotions. You do that by getting control of the things that you feel, the things that you see, the things that you hear. You see, if you're not careful, The enemy will always help you to see clearly the things that fail, the things that don't measure up, the things that fall short. It's amazing how easy it is for us to see the scars and the places where damage has been done. And at times, not so easy to see the good that has taken place. What this man is saying is that I got myself into this mess because I didn't do the things that I should have been doing to avoid these things that I have been feeling. You see, when he begins to think right, he suddenly begins to feel right. And as he thinks right and feels right, good things once again begin to happen. What changes first? What changes first is that he stops questioning God. If you were with us last week, you heard us talk about the danger of questioning God. Oh, the enemy is quick to sit on our shoulder and whisper things into our ear that will cause us to question God. But we'll have to have some determination if we're going to look beyond the surface to see what God is doing. God is working all things for our good. The scriptures declare that, and then experience declares that as we look upon the things that God has done in our lives. Oh, I will be quick to agree that there are times when God does things that we don't understand exactly what God is trying to do. We don't understand what He's saying to us when He tells us to do certain things. It's because we can't see what He's seeing. We can't know what He knows. But if we'll be obedient to what God is doing, we'll get to where we can see it. We'll get to where we can understand it because God does work all things for our good. Now here's something I want to remind you of, because I don't want to miss this by hurrying so much today that I neglect to tell you that God does work. Oh, I know. If you have got a skeptical bone in your body, it will shout loudly, "But what has God done lately?" Once again, I want to tell you that if you're walking by sight rather than by faith, you're going to miss it. Because as you walk by faith, you don't need to see it to know that God is doing it. Your heart, your spirit will tell you God has it under control. There are times, I'll admit, when it seems like that chaos has taken over and everything is out of control, that's when God is most in control. Because through that, God is doing some things that will turn out to be a help to people's lives. One of the things that this man had to do in order to get himself back on the right track is that, first of all, he had to concentrate on the greatness of God. He had to stop thinking of God as this little force in his life. He had to start thinking about how that God was the creator of the universe, that God simply spoke the word and things happened, that he could hold the whole world in the palm of his hand. That's how great God is. He had to remember that no enemy on earth, no enemy in hell could defy the authority of an almighty God. Oh, when he began to think about the greatness of God, he could feel himself being lifted up, because he realized that he wasn't in the hands of something that was going to utterly destroy him, and he could do nothing about it. All of a sudden, he remembered that because I'm in the hands of a great God, there's nothing that can harm me when I am in the protective covering of his hand. He began to think about the greatness of God. He recalled his mighty works in the days of old. He began to remember the things that God had already done so that he could begin to have faith that God would do it again. He began to give thanks for the greatness of God. Oh, isn't it surprising how when we begin to thank God that we'll begin to remember things that we had forgotten? That we'll all of a sudden notice that God had done some things that we really hadn't thought of before, but yet God was there in that moment when we needed Him. He began to give thanks unto God. He didn't find joy in his success. He found joy in God's success. Where does our joy come from? Our joy comes from God. And in that joy we find strength. Is it possible? Could it be today that as we begin to thank God for His greatness, as we begin to praise God for His goodness, that we will feel ourselves rising above the shadows that we have been covered by? Could it be that suddenly we'll be able to see things a little bit more clearly because now we are recalling how good God has been, how great God has been, and how He has been those things towards us? Oh, I'm blessed when God does something good for others. But oh, how much more I'm blessed when God does something good for me. I'm one of those that can easily be reminded of my failures, for I have failed Him many times. I don't know why God has been so good to me and has done the things that He's done. But I want to shout about it. I want to tell about it because God has been good. Who am I? Nobody special. Nobody any different than you that are participating in this service today. But God's grace and His mercy has made the difference. And I'm here today to proclaim that God has been good and God has been great. When I think about His past works in my life, it gives me hope. It strengthens my resolve. Because as I think about what God did yesterday, I have hope for what God is going to do today. I think of that song that we sing every once in a while here on Souls Harbor. He'll do it again. Just take a look at where you are now and where you have been. Hasn't He always come through for you? He's the same now as then. You may not know how, you may not know when, but He'll do it again. Oh, I have been surprised at different times in my life how it looked so dark, it looked so bleak, but suddenly God stepped onto the scene of my life and He did just exactly what I needed Him to do, and He rescued me. I'm giving you my testimony, but my testimony is echoed in many of your lives today because He's done the same for you. You see, we need to just put our faith and trust in God today. I think I've tried to say this throughout this service, but we have His grace and His mercy that allows us to get close to God. It's in that closeness that we feel the power and the strength that is needed to get our lives in a place where we can say, God is good. He is good today. And He does good things for His children. If you're a child of God, you can expect your Heavenly Father to take care of you in all things, no matter what you're going through today. The chains of life will fall away. We'll experience a freedom as we look to God, and God makes a way for us, even when there doesn't seem to be any way. Heavenly Father, wrap Your arms today around those that are discouraged, those that have grown weak because they are battle-weary. Help them to see You afresh and anew that their lives might be encouraged. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.
It must have felt strange to end up stranded between an army and the sea. They must have been forsaken, wondering why God wasn't all He said He'd be. When your back's against the wall, that's the hardest place of all. But somewhere between provision and impossibility, God you're crying in the night, and you struggle till your strength is almost gone. God will gently hold you in the shelter of his heart.